Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The top two running backs for fantasy football championship weekend. You know who they are. Many of you love them if you're on the roster. Christian McCaffrey at number one at the Washington Commanders and Kyren Williams at the New York Giants. Hayden, we have about 28 other ball carriers to rank after this for the people to win their titles. How you feel?
If you are facing Christian McCaffrey this week, I wish you all the luck because you will certainly need it. CMC, obviously the Niners projected for the most points, 31. You don't see very many team totals get up into the 30s like this, but the Commanders are certainly earning it without Montez Sweat, Chase Young, and Jameen Davis, their linebacker. They have no chance. Breece Hall went absolutely nuts against them last week, and Christian McCaffrey's on another level.
The Commanders have allowed Ramondre Stevenson to be the running back two, Kenneth Walker running back seven, Saquon Barkley running back one, Tony Pollard running back six, Achane the running back three, Kyren Williams running back five, Breece Hall running back one.
This might be the highest projected fantasy point total of any week going into any season. This is crazy.
Kyren Williams at the Giants at number two, not too far behind Hayden. Since returning to the lineup in week 12 after that injury, he leads all running backs with about 26 touches per game, and that's helpful when you're facing a New York Giants defense that is allowing 4.5 yards per carry and 16.6 rushing points per game.
Third most rushing yards allowed over the entire season, and then, yeah, this month he's averaging four more expected points than any other running back. So these two are by far the top two, just to get a feel. 121 total yards in the pick and lobby for CMC. Kyren Williams, 115 total yards. Everyone else is in the 90s and 80s. So these are the best two fantasy assets right now, and I'm sure a lot of you guys have them because you're tuning into a final show.
I don't. My best running back is Jonathan Taylor on my one finals team in Dynasty this season. My second back is Gus Edwards. We will rank all those names, including Clyde Edwards-Helaire. And I don't typically do this. Just a disclaimer, just to get it out there. Hayden has Clyde Edwards-Helaire ranked very highly today. And we're going to have a great conversation about it. And again, 28 other names for all of you to put into your lineups. Here we go. Hayden, this kicks off with the third running back. That is actually Rashad White against the New Orleans Saints. Talk to me.
Just so consistent. RB4 and RB5 usage this month. He had 15 carries, three receptions against the Saints back in week five. Team totals rock solid because the Bucs offense is very good. It's the best combination of floor and ceiling. The receiving ability gives him the upside. The total volume gives him a floor. 91.5 total yards in the underdog fantasy pick'em lobby. So this is just like the easiest RB3 you can come up with.
There's a lot of NFL teams that have played each other like in the last 2 weeks or 3 weeks that are also playing each other this week. Mm-hmm. The Bucs and the Saints did not play each other until all the way back in week four of this season. I'll have some Alvin Kamara discussion points.
That was a game.
Yeah. that led us to calling PPR the devil's game.
Yes.
For Rashad White, though, Hayden, you remember when we talked about in the first 6 weeks of the season, it was very different usage from him. He was not being involved in the passing game at all. He only had three catches in that contest. I will add, though, that the Saints are allowing a league-low six receiving points per contest to running backs, which I think Rashad White, Dave Canales, and Baker Mayfield are certainly going to challenge that number so far this season.
Definitely. And this is a game for the division, more or less. If the Bucs win this one, they are the champs. So everything on the line here.
Next, Saquon Barkley all the way up at running back four. Is this a Tyrod Taylor change?
It really is. The Giants project for 20 points this week. Typically, we've talked about them in that kind of 14, 15, 16 range. So we're adding basically another touchdown to their projection. Saquon Barkley is coming off monster usage again last week, 18.4 expected points. He's not giving up. Certainly the Giants still are fighting for a lot right now. And this is just a shootout game. We're going to talk about the Rams already with Kyren Williams, they're expected to go crazy. I think that Saquon Barkley in catch-up mode, which is exactly what we saw last week. He's going to get his carries. He's for sure the goal line back. He's definitely going to get some targets in garbage time here. I just did want to give a shout-out, though. The Rams defense, they're number one against fantasy running backs this year, which is crazy to think about all the turnover they've had. Shout out to the coaching staff, obviously Aaron Donald, Les Snead's hit on defensive linemen as well. So the Rams are a good defense, but their offense is so good right now that I think that Saquon Barkley's volume is going to get there. Underdog Fantasy Pick'em Lobby loves him at 85.5 total yards.
This is a confident ranking by you. I mean, because he's been either great or really bad. In fantasy football the last few weeks. I think we always can talk about how that's attached to an environment, how that's attached to certain players. Running back 38, then running back 1. Running back 45, then running back 4. Running back 45, then running back 9. So you're hoping for one of those top 10 weeks.
I trust Tyrod Taylor more than Tommy Cutlets. Sadly, I hate to admit it.
Well, but so do Brian Daboll. So.
And so do the betting markets.
Yes. Okay, Bijan Robinson. You're running back 5. Hopefully the people tuned into the show last week and understood the dynamic that was very different in that Carolina Panthers game with weather facing base personnel defense about 52% of the time. We knew last week against the Indianapolis Colts, they run base personnel about 19% of the time. Hayden, that also included this past weekend, season highs of 7 receptions and 10 targets. And I will add the figure, 22-ish% of the time is how often the Chicago Bears play base defense.
Right now, the Falcons are just running the ball like crazy, and when they do pass the ball, it's going to Bijan Robinson. So it was a season high in usage last week at 22.4 points. That's a lot of them. I don't expect that to really go away. Right now, the Bears' defense, where they're weakest, is actually allowing running backs to catch the ball. They're second worst, or that they're by far the allowing the most, 196 more yards than the second worst fantasy defense to running backs. So he's going to get out in space. He still isn't the all-around player that the Falcons were probably hoping for. That's why Tyler Allgeier mixes in enough. But Arthur Smith's coaching for his job. How do you please the owner? You give the guy you just spent a top 10 pick on the ball 20 times.
I love that we are coming off a season high in receiving usage going straight into the game where the matchup dictates the running backs getting the ball as pass catchers, because they are actually third in rushing points allowed this season. And as you said, worst in terms of backfields catching passes.
Yep.
Okay. Running back 6, Jonathan Taylor, need you in a big way, sir. This is against the Las Vegas Raiders. And actually since week 9, the Raiders are allowing just 3.6 yards per carry to running backs. That is 6th in the league. Just 18% of those runs have resulted in a first down or touchdown. That is 3rd best in the league. Antonio Pierce, character, environment creator.
Yeah, Antonio Pierce, one of the coaches that could scream at his defensive line and linebackers with authority and have the guts to pull that one off. Yeah, I love this spot for Jonathan Taylor still, even though the Raiders have been better. This is a must-win game for the Colts. Jonathan Taylor was effective last week, 18 of 21 running back carries. That led to 16 expected points. I'm expecting even bigger numbers in this one, assuming that this game will be close as it's expected to be. Zach Moss limited with that forearm injury in practice. Still too early to tell if he's going to be effective, but I think that they want to use Jonathan Taylor, not Zach Moss, you know.
Sit it out. Okay. Next up, one of the two Detroit Lions running backs out there. Your running back 7 this week is Jahmyr Gibbs. We talked about it a little bit in stats versus film, but in the first half, Dave Montgomery outsnapped, outtouched Jahmyr Gibbs 21-17, then 13-5. Then towards the end of the second quarter, Dave Montgomery has a head injury, gets examined for it, and barely plays the rest of the way. And that's really where Jahmyr Gibbs took off, and he did exceptional work in that environment too. Hayden, this is at the Dallas Cowboys, who 2 weeks ago, misdirection, could not stop a nosebleed against the Buffalo Bills. Actually, efficiency standpoint, did quite well against the Miami Dolphins this past week. We know that the Lions and their running game and how diverse it is and how multiple it can be. I'm going to lead more towards what we saw in the Buffalo Bills game than I am this past week against the Dolphins for this Cowboys defense.
The Dolphins' running style is more to the perimeter and way more misdirection and all that stuff. The Lions go north-south, and that's where the Cowboys are worst at. And Jahmyr Gibbs has earned more trust running more north-south. So, yeah, this is just a good spot for Jahmyr Gibbs. I leaned Gibbs way over David Montgomery just in case this game script gets away from the Lions. They are 6-point underdogs in those type of games. We have seen Jahmyr Gibbs play more, but he's looked really good. The offensive line is amazing. I don't think that Jonathan Hankins, the defensive tackle, is going to play. And since he's been out, the Cowboys are 31st in rushing success rate allowed. So I'm not expecting the usage split to be as wide as it was or as close as it was last week. I do think David Montgomery is going to get his carries, but I like Jahmyr Gibbs' chances of staying on the field no matter what.
I'm not surprised that Jahmyr Gibbs is ranked this high. I am shocked at the disparity in the two rankings that you have between him and David Montgomery. Because just for reference, again, Jahmyr Gibbs here is running back 7. You have David Montgomery around running back 19. That's pretty low.
It's just if the Lions are losing by 2 touchdowns, which, hey, you're playing the Dallas Cowboys, anything could happen, then we can see David Montgomery kind of get schemed out of things. I just don't see that exactly happening with Jahmyr Gibbs.
Okay, interesting. All right, we will keep it moving. Next up is James Cook. James Cook, good player. However, this past week, Hayden did not see that same receiving work that has been so pivotal for him. 3 catches. Excuse me, I'm trying to find it here. Oh, all of them were runs. That's why I couldn't find them. All of them were runs. I mean, he didn't get a target for, I think, the first time since like week 6 on the season. And so what we need to happen is against the Patriots, who also are very good at stopping the run, is to get re-involved in the receiving game.
He needs it because the Patriots run defense is the best in the league. Number 1 in success rate, number 2 in EPA allowed. What we saw last week, which was new, was big dude Leonard Fournette. He was out there, and it wasn't just in garbage time, nothing like that. He was playing in the 2-minute drill, and then he also saw the only inside the 5-yard line opportunity. So we'll see if James Cook can inherit a couple more of those touches. Hopefully we can get that receiving game usage back, just because the Patriots run defense is extremely real. All that said, Bills still project for the 4th most points on the week. Back earlier in the season against Bill Belichick, he had 56 rushing yards, 46 receiving yards, and a touchdown in that one. So this is basically as low as I can rank him because his role and the team total. But this is not a good matchup for James Cook, certainly.
They play back in week 7, and yes, they stepped him for just 56 yards on 13 carries. But he did catch 3 passes for 46 yards and a score. So let's just spam that a little bit more. Okay, you're running back 9. He's all the way up here. It's Devin Singletary. Not the best week this past weekend, but no. Hayden, we did see a couple weeks ago, one of these teams that played twice in a condensed schedule, the Tennessee Titans. Devin Singletary had 30 touches for 170 yards. Not bad.
Not bad at all. Without Jeffrey Simmons, the Titans are 27th in success rate allowed. Things are going to hit a lot cleaner for Devin Singletary with CJ Stroud instead of Case Keenum and Davis Mills. So I also want to just like reiterate how banged up the Titans defense is right now. It's Jeffrey Simmons. We have defensive tackles on IR. They're releasing linebackers. They're releasing defensive tackles. We are waiving players. I mean, the safeties are getting traded away. This is their week 1 lineup. Look at all the red. Everyone's out of there. This Titans defense is all backups right now. And that's why I think that the Texans team total is all the way up to 24 points. And Devin Singletary last week, I know everything went completely sideways. That was against the Browns. They were getting blown out so bad in the 4th quarter that they actually just took him off the field. But before that happened, it was Devin Singletary in this bell cow role, 2-minute drill early down. He's going to be the goal line back as well. So high team total, great matchup for him. It's time to party.
Yeah, 10 of his 12 touches were in the first half. That's exactly what you said. They just took him out when they didn't have a chance of winning the game. Okay, to close out your top 10, it is Alvin Kamara. Alvin Kamara at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. We mentioned it earlier at the start. This is the game that he returned to the lineups in 2023, and he caught 13 freaking passes for 33 yards. It tilted me to death.
Oh, my God.
It'll force me to never, never nominate a league to be full point PPR ever again because it was bogus. Hayden, we're going to get receiving work against this Buccaneers defense, but we're also getting some rushing work out of there. And as we have talked about, Alvin Kamara, other than what we've seen this past week, he can do everything in this backfield.
He can. He's been the running back 14 on running back 12 usage this month. They're getting Jamal Williams mixed in there. They're passing the ball in the red zone to all these tight ends that they have. The Bucs are fifth best against fantasy running backs. That includes that PPR scamming day from Alvin Kamara. The Bucs also have Vita Vea, the defensive tackle. He's in the lineup. Devin White, after all the drama, he played like 90% of the snaps. Yeah, exactly. So we don't have to worry about that. This front seven that we have been fearful of in the past is still mostly there. So it's not a great matchup individually for Alvin Kamara. And I think that game, when he came back, that was like a very scared Derek Carr. They were trying to figure out exactly what they wanted to do on offense. And by the way, even though he caught all those passes, it didn't work. So that game plan, they cannot go back to that. So 81.5 total yards in the pick'em lobby. That seems appropriate. This is like team totals, like league average. So fine play.
Derek Carr hears you say that we can't throw to our running backs 13 times in one game, and he's just like, watch me.
I hope it's to freaking Chris Olave.
Okay, next up, your running back 11 on the week is Breece Hall. Talk about receiving usage. It was insane this past week. Trevor Siemian barely threw beyond 5 yards. That is going to hit differently and won't work as successfully against this Cleveland Browns defense, who, if we're talking about running games, Hayden, and Reeves pointed this out in the worksheet, they've allowed 0.01 yards before contact to backfields when playing at home. That is obviously by far the lowest rate in the league. The league average is actually 1.25 yards.
Man, Myles Garrett, pretty good. Pretty good. Yeah, that's what my notes were, is you cannot overstate the difference between this version of the Commanders defense and what the Browns are trotting out there right now. So Breece Hall, it was the second best expected points game, second best usage of any player any week this entire year last week. And still, I can't get him in the top 10 because of how bad the Jets offensive line is versus this defense line. Pick'em Lobby has at 81.5 total yards. He's going to have to catch a lot of passes to get there, because I think, like you said, the per touch stuff is going to get pretty, pretty gross. And it's Thursday night football on top of it.
Did you know? Well, tonight night football.
Yes. Yeah.
How we're doing it. He's now second in the NFL among running backs and receiving yards. Mm-hmm. My theory with like this would turn to Aaron Jones stuff attached to Aaron Rodgers. I cannot wait. I cannot wait for Breece Hall next season.
Mm-hmm. I have him inside. Like, I think I'm like 6 overall in my current rankings.
Some people might be shocked by your running back 12 this week. That is DeAndre Swift. You should not be, because this is against the Arizona Cardinals, a passive defense that is not even being called by Jonathan Gannon. Let's put it that way. Hayden, it's always, I'm not going to say a difficult ranking for DeAndre Swift, but attached to starting DeAndre Swift in your lineup, I thought, again, Retriever on the worksheet put it extremely eloquently. He has no or little receiving work. He's very dependent on hitting the end zone in an offense that, when he gets down to the 1 yard line, is not going to allow him to score touchdowns. And in fact, this past week, it was the sixth time this season that he had a run that fell down at the 1 yard line, and he did not score on any of those 6 carries subsequently on that same drive.
He's not the best player in my, very mediocre in my opinion, but this matchup is just the stone cold nuts. So this is a totally eruption spot for DeAndre Swift. You and I have ranked DeAndre Swift as running back 25. We've ranked him around here at times. To me, it's just based off the matchup. If it's a difficult matchup, I don't think that he's going to maximize it. I do think that with this offensive line, he can certainly maximize it. In this one, I actually have him a spot ahead of Breece Hall at this point. In the last 2 outings, we are looking at 17.8, 14.7 expected half PPR points. Those are 20 touch games. And then the Cardinals right now are the only team to allow 400 carries to running backs this season. And we're looking at 10.5 point favorites, huge team total. So everything is for the taking for DeAndre Swift, except the tush push.
Backfields have scored 22 touchdowns against the Arizona Cardinals this season. Speaking of, Ezekiel Elliott's up next. So it was a massive projection in terms of yardage totals for Ezekiel Elliott heading into last week. It was ridiculous. This week, it's not going to be close, but what we have seen is him be very, very involved in the receiving game, because Bailey Zappe has actually thrown for some yardage, and he will quickly go down to his running back in the check down. A hurdle that we got from Ezekiel Elliott last week, and Hayden, when these teams played in week 7, Patriots running backs carried the ball 20 times for just 65 yards, but did catch 6 passes. for 51 yards. And as we just saw, Ramondre Stevenson has been placed on injured reserve.
We're going to copy that stat line here, right here. It's going to be 6 receptions. We're going to get 70, 80 yards here. And that's all we need. He's been the RB4 in usage this month, RB13 in production. I have him ranked as my running back 13. All this seems appropriate. It doesn't even matter that the team total is so low because he's been getting it done when the Patriots haven't really been scoring. So yeah, this is just the best volume. And quite frankly, Zeke is just a much better player this year than what he was last year. Last year, he was very clearly injured. He looks a little bit more explosive.
Derrick Henry at the Houston Texans is your running back 14, I believe. So the thesis behind drafting Derrick Henry for many people was that he played the Houston Texans in 2 of the final 3 weeks in fantasy football. Well, Derrick Henry has been fantastic in 4 of the last 5 games this season. The 5th game was against the Houston Texans, where he was just totally denied. I mean, he had 20 touches for 10 total yards. Yep. Okay. I mean, unbelievable stuff. Now, we have seen this Texans defense be a bit injured in recent weeks, and Will Anderson and Jonathan Greenard, they can't duplicate what they did that week, Hayden. But will it go from being that awful extreme to what we have seen in actually a top 12 running back, basically, in the other 4 games of his last 5 play?
I think we have a good chance at that because it's not just the 2 edge rushers that you named. It's also Sheldon Rankins and Malik Collins. Those are the defensive tackles. They are also not practicing early in the week. There was a chance that the Titans were going to go to Tyjae Spears a bunch in the last game, but it was the big dog eating at the goal line late in the game. So if they can establish a lead or keep this thing close, I do think that Derrick Henry is going to get fed here. He's just been like a running back 2 with some upside with Will Levis out there. And even with them eliminated from the playoffs, they're going to keep riding the face of the franchise. So much cleaner matchup this time around. We're talking about 4 to 5 starters in the front 7 that could not be playing in this one.
Okay, the time has come. Clyde Edwards-Helaire is your running back 15 against the Cincinnati Bengals. Explain yourself.
Oh, well, I didn't want this to happen, except I kind of did. Remember in round 18, this is what we're talking about. Isaiah Pacheco, concussion protocol. He has 1 fewer day to return than usual. Jerick McKinnon's on injured reserve. So this is assuming that's going to be CH, and I believe it's LaMichael Perine as the number 2. Andy Reid's gone out of his way to compliment CH this entire season. If you're just looking at the RB1 for the Chiefs throughout this entire season, they're averaging 13 half PPR points on 13.4 expected PPR points. The Chiefs have the 5th highest team total of the week here. The Bengals defense is awful. It's even worse without defensive tackle DJ Reader. So the volume's going to be there. They have nobody else to go to. The matchup is clean. And Mahomes doesn't trust some of his wide receivers. So I do wonder if they're going to lean on someone that he can trust in CEH. Even if he's not very explosive, it's just really hard to get away from the touches and the team total right here.
I can't do this with you.
That's fine. I mean,
many other running backs behind him that I understand maybe they're pick'em projections or they're not playing the Cincinnati Bengals defense, but I can just hopefully rely on them to score a touchdown, or they're attached to just better offenses at this point than what the Chiefs. What is the Chiefs offense right now?
They only project for the 5th most points. If you would like to go,
there is no team, go for it. Aiden, there is no team that has failed to reach their projected total more often than the Kansas City Chiefs this season.
I hope you go make some money off that then.
Go ahead. This year. Go ahead. It's worked more often this season than it hasn't.
Keep going. Yeah.
Even if it's just the projected total, are we sure that's being funneled to a running back that they really don't care about?
I mean, I'm ranking him as the running back 15. Like, I have Breece Hall and CEH ranked ahead of him, and their team total is literally half of it.
I'm with you on that.
Exactly.
But
yeah.
No. But after him, it's names like, and I understand he's being wholly inefficient this season, but it's Tony Pollard. It's guys like Kenneth Walker. It's guys like David Montgomery, Raheem Mostert, who's injured. Like,
Tony Pollard is worse than CEH right now. Give me a break. Pollard, he is really bad right now.
Okay. I think handshake deal. Tony Pollard, CEH, who scores more points this week?
Oh, I've ranked CEH ahead for a reason. Okay.
I think let's agree to that one.
Okay, there we go.
Okay, Next is Tony Pollard. Not all the way up there. He's right there. This is against the Detroit Lions defense, Hayden. And as we have seen, without Lee McNeil, a Detroit Lions defense, if you understand and have blocking schemes against Aiden Hutchinson, you can have some success against them.
Ty Chandler didn't have the success, though, last week. So, yeah, I think this is a totally fine matchup. They're projected for a ton of points here. If Rico Dowdle is out and he didn't practice, he left with an ankle injury, that will certainly change some things for Tony Pollard. But he's been bottom three in success rate. I don't know how he didn't score that touchdown last time. And what happened after that is they went to fullbacks in the red area. They went to just passes in other short yard situations. They just went shotgun and just ran the ball or passed the ball out to the flats at times. And then in pass protection, they brought in that same fullback that was fumbling the ball in there because they didn't trust Tony Pollard in that. So it's just been really bad for Tony Pollard. He's running back 27 or running back 14 usage this month. This is as low as I can rank somebody on a team projected to score 30 points. They're projected to score 30 points this week, and I still can't give him full confidence as an RB1 right now because he's been playing so poorly. And last week, he was losing snaps, critical snaps at that as well.
Okay. Next, Raheem Mostert. Does this come down to some questions of an injury that he sustained last week?
That and the Dolphins team total is more league average. We've seen like the Dolphins kind of up in this tier. So we have injury concerns. He was cleared to play, but didn't go back into the game the second half. A little knee sprain for him. But just even without that, the Dolphins team total is just like a touchdown less than what it typically is. So moved both Achan and Raheem Mostert down like a full tier or two because of that.
Okay. James Conner, this is at the Philadelphia Eagles. I mean, James Conner this past week, Hayden, showed us something that we hadn't seen at all this season in terms of his receiving usage. 5 receptions, 67 yards. Mm-hmm. He had, according to Reeves, 39 receiving yards on the season prior to last week. So I don't know if we can take what we saw last week and put it into this game.
Well, they were trailing, and they should be trailing again here.
A lot.
Yeah, but James Conner, it doesn't really matter. Over the last 3 games, James Conner's faced the Steelers, the 49ers, and the Bears with Montez Sweat. 3 very good defenses. He's had 22.5, 16.4, and 19.7 half PPR points. He's been an RB1 over this really crazy stretch. Obviously, the Eagles, extremely hard matchup. The trenches mismatch here is very, very hard to overcome. But James Conner is number 1 in yards after contact per carry in the entire NFL. Number 1. This dude still is running over people. He still has explosiveness. Nobody covers the Cardinals. Nobody cares about James Conner for some reason. Super fun player. He's just been really underappreciated. So even in a bad matchup, we do need to start treating him as an RB2 because he has been producing like more than that in equally as difficult matchups.
Okay. Question, with all that said, and including that this Eagles defense has allowed 135 total yards to running backs per game over the last 6, which was after their bye, after just 82 prior to the bye. Why is he listed behind CEH?
Well, I mean, we're looking at totally different team totals here. And CEH is going to be playing a lot. Unless you think LaMichael Perine is going to get a bunch of snaps, I think CEH is going to play a ton.
Okay. Just asking questions. Mm-hmm. Okay. Have we gotten 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18? One more name, and that is Kenneth Walker here as your running back 19. Kenneth Walker has not been 100% healthy as of late, but I still see Kenneth Walker posting some unreal highlights every single week, and now he faced the Pittsburgh Steelers defense.
Steelers have been definitely solid on defense up front and definitely compared to what their secondary has been the last 3 games, 9.9, 11, and 11 expected points. So that's kind of like in this like RB3 discussion. He's better than that on tape for the metrics, anything that you need here. So I'm just hoping that he can break off a long run here. The Seahawks do project for 22 points, which is above kind of average. At home here, this game they need to win. So everything's on the line for Kenneth Walker here. He just like has not had the exact volume that other backs have had just because like Zach Charbonnet is playing in the 2-minute drill, for example.
Okay. We will move on to running back 20. We talked about him earlier. It's Dave Montgomery. Anything you want to add here? Again, I think that the drastically different rankings in these is a bit too large.
Yeah, just they're projected to lose this game, and that's always a little bit fearful for David Montgomery, who's definitely better in with leads. But I would not be surprised at all if the first 12 plays of the game are under center, David Montgomery runs right up the middle. Hopefully he can score a touchdown on them. He's not going to have the same receiving profile as a lot of the backs ahead of him. He's still very good. Right before the show went live, I had a comment like RB7 to RB21, very flat to me. Like you can kind of, these guys are all going to be projected for 60, 70, 80 yards in the pick and lobby. Who's scoring the touchdowns? Just David Montgomery's a little bit more game script dependent than the other backs will be, but great matchup for him individually. I really wanted to rank him higher, but CH.
Okay. Aaron Jones up next. One of my favorite players when he has played this season, which has been very rare. This is at the Minnesota Vikings. The Vikings defense, as we have talked about, just tricky to run against, I think is the best way of saying it. However, in the receiving game, when you are able to catch passes and not just pass protect, they have been able to give up yardage in week 8. Green Bay backs caught 9 passes for 58 yards. And Hayden, as we talked about, Aaron Jones, since he has returned, has been heavily utilized despite not, you know, a 80% snap player.
Right. 17.7 and 20 expected points. He's the RB2 overall in usage. I think things will kind of go down a little bit from there, though, because it seems like Jaden Reed is going to practice here. A.J. Dillon was mixing in last week, so I think that A.J. Dillon will have a role here. And just the matchup, I still think it is a pretty bad one against Minnesota in general. So pick and lobby only has us at 55.5 rushing yards. We'll see if Christian Watson and Jaden Reed and Dontavian Wicks, the final injury report will kind of tinker this ranking a little bit. Yeah, that's where I'm at.
Dillon did play last week. He came in for one goal line carry, and that was basically it. I felt like this team trusts and believes in Aaron Jones the most. I mean, he's clearly the best back on that team. Next up is Chuba Hubbard. This against the Jacksonville Jaguars defense, a defense that tries to stop the run, but a team that is on a 3-game skid at the moment, to say the least.
This Jacksonville's not very good right now. And even if they are a pass funnel, I think the Panthers know where their bread is buttered right now, and that is trying to run the ball when they can and then get Bryce to create at times like he did last week. He was coming off by far the best Bryce game of his career. Chuba Hubbard profile is better than this, but this is, I will still say, a below average matchup for him, and the Panthers still can't get above that 16-point team total again. So just not the same exact receiving profile as some of these other backs as well. He needs that like 80 yards and a touchdown, and this is a tougher matchup to kind of get that done.
Ty Chandler against the Green Bay Packers, a Packers defense that is 26th in rushing points allowed per game, just over 15. We saw Ty Chandler struggle last week because he was asked to pass protect, and that is not his game. It's a reason why he hasn't been playing as often this season as someone like me has called for. But I don't know if that will be as big of a factor this week as it was last week.
I completely agree. They were actually getting their fullback CJ Ham in there to pass protect. Alexander Mattison barely played. I'm expecting Madison to play more in this one. But there is still a ton of upside here. The Vikings project for 24 points. They're missing Kirk Cousins, TJ Hawkinson, and probably Jordan Addison with the ankle injury. I mean, Kevin O'Connell has this team fired up, ready to go, and projecting for a lot of points. Obviously, the Packers just clown show defense at this point. I mean, what happened at the coin toss was like the latest thing for the Packers. So I think Ty Chandler has a ton of upside from this spot. I just can't rely on him as much as some of the backs around him.
Next, Gus Edwards. This is against the Miami Dolphins. And what we are counting on with Gus Edwards is a short yardage touchdown. And if he doesn't get that, then you're probably going to get 5 or 6 points.
Yes. Luckily, he plays for the Ravens and they have lots of goal line opportunities. Last week, he had 3 of them on 3 different drives. It's just him and Justice Hill. I think they've maximized what they could do with Justice Hill.
They use Justice Hill a lot this past week.
They definitely want to use him, but this is certainly Gus Bus at the goal line. This, I think, is going to be a high scoring game against the Dolphins. I know they have both good defenses, but these offenses are too good just in general. Back call it week four when he was kind of a clear starter after the J.K. Dobbins injury, he's averaged 12 half PPR points. That's kind of right in this like RB 2-3 range.
Okay. After that, Zamir White. You know, Josh Jacobs could pop in here. It's Zamir White. Whoever's going to be the starter by the time that they play, we know that Antonio Pierce is going to give them a ton of carries. He has talked about in his press conferences that I know that you know that I know that you know, blah, 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 that we're going to run the football, and that's real football. And so whoever is the back end there is going to get 18 plus carries.
Yeah, I had the same exact notes. Josh Jacobs did not practice again with the quad injury, so I don't know what exactly is going on. He is a pending free agent, so I wonder if that has something to do with it.
Next, Joe Mixon has not been great as of late. It's interesting. A guy who was like never scoring touchdowns went on a streak of scoring some touchdowns, and now that he's not doing it again, it's felt like. He's kind of back in this range. And obviously Jake Browning is what we saw this past week, that if he doesn't hit that special player to have a ton of yards after catch opportunities, plus Chase Brown being in the ball game, then the Bengals kind of crumble down to earth. Let's put it that way.
Right. I think Jake Browning just, it was a sign of regression this last week after getting away with some things in the weeks prior. In the last two games, Mixon's been at 13.5 and 12.6. expected points. They want to get Chase Brown involved. And then, yeah, the Chiefs, their fourth best in success rate defense right now as well. So just worried about kind of the game flow and how Joe Mixon has gotten home with Jake Browning. I'm not sure exactly how sticky that type of production is. But like the fact that Joe Mixon is ranked this low is just a sign that like all the teams are healthy. Like trying to distinguish between Mixon at 27 and then CEH at 15 and stuff, this tier is still very, very flat.
I do want to add, because in week 13 against the Jaguars, he was the running back 1 overall. Week 14, he was the running back 7 overall. Week 15, he was the running back 14. And then obviously against this Pittsburgh Steelers defense that we just saw, it was running back 34. So we are kind of leaning towards what we saw in week 16 to be this actual offense against the Kansas City Chiefs defense, which let's say probably needs to turn things around versus what we saw last week against the Las Vegas Raiders. And they certainly have the talent and the coaching to do that. That we are almost not disregarding, but not believing that the 3 weeks that we saw with Jake Browning are who Joe Mixon can really be in fantasy football in the championships.
Yeah, I don't think that Jake Browning, like he was like top five in all these numbers. He's not top five quarterback. So I think what we saw last week is probably a fair projection in general.
Okay. What if I told you, Hayden, that Travis Etienne in consensus rankings for week 17 is a running back 5 overall?
I mean, am I missing something? When has he been that good?
This is something that we talk about every single week. The chat has been going crazy this entire time.
I have him ranked higher than this, for the record.
Okay, where do you have him?
Ahead of Gus Bus and Ty Chandler. Yeah, right next to Chuba, right there.
Okay, so, but that is the running back 24. So let's still have this conversation.
Please.
In the last few weeks, the Jacksonville running game is like 30th in the league. This is EPA. This is everything. And These are the notes that we brought out last week prior to week 16 when everyone was trying to rank Travis Etienne high. And he goes out there and goes and becomes the running back 47 in week 16. Since the week 9 bye, Etienne has carried the ball 78 times for 254 yards. He's averaging 0.47 yards before contact. That is 33rd out of 36, as Rich Rebar has noted. What if the last time that Travis Etienne rushed for 56 yards was week 5?
It like, felt like it.
And it's true. Like, this is who Travis Etienne is now and has been for the last few weeks. Yet, chat consensus rankings wants him to be a top 5 running back this week.
I mean, look at the matchup right now. The Jacksonville is dead last in rushing EPA or bottom 5, and then they're facing the number 1 unit. So, like, this is just... it's a really bad matchup for Travis Etienne. Also, Trevor Lawrence is highly questionable to play. We're talking about a shoulder injury. It seems like he's going to gut through it
today.
Right. But I mean, Trevor Lawrence, it's now head, shoulders, knees, and toes for him. So we're not seeing the same exact Trevor Lawrence. If you guys haven't watched the Jacksonville offense right now, it's not good. In fact, you can call it bad. It has not been clicking right now. So yeah, Travis Etienne certainly has the talent to rip off a big play. So does other players like Aaron Jones around him. I've seen Gus Bus do it at times. Joe Mixon has done it. But this is the tier because Jacksonville's offense is just not what people want it to be. We have to make some adjustments.
Yeah,
for sure.
And the bye week has been a tale of two halves, really, for Travis Etienne's season. I just want to run through these real quick. And in fact, how about I just share this tab just to quickly show everyone, okay? Prior to the bye, the opening parts of the season, he was a running back 6, the running back 9, the running back 1, running back 3, running back 4, running back 5 in 7 of the opening 9 games. Fantastic stuff. Take that with what you want, right? Or 6 of the opening 8, whatever it is. Since 39, 26, 19, 12, 15, 30, 47. How does any of that and Jacksonville struggling, nothing improving, lead us to a top 5 or heck, even top 10 week? Like, it is possible, but what you are banking on is short yardage rushing touchdowns for a team that has struggled to get into that area because it hasn't really been explosive or receiving aspects to Travis Etienne's game as of late.
Over the last month, he's running back 23 in usage. So it's not like that he's like some huge positive regression candidate. Like, they're not moving the ball enough. They're not throwing them the ball enough to warrant what we saw earlier on the season. And I do think it's offensive line injuries. It's no Christian Kirk. It's no Zay Jones. It's Trevor Lawrence not looking like himself. Like, there's reasons why this offense is just not clicking right now. And the Panthers, by the way, are super slow paced. You don't run a lot of plays against Carolina, and their defense has actually been quite respectable for most of the season on top of it.
Yeah, I said he had not rushed for 56 yards since week 5. He's done it one time. Excuse me. One time. That was back in week 8, which was before the bye. So, Okay. It's always a fun conversation when, you know, players change drastically.
Right.
From earlier parts in the year when they're banked in, locked in, top 5, top 10 names until now. Because injuries happen, teams change, things aren't as successful, so on and so forth. And we have to adjust along with them. That's for sure. Okay. Devon Achane rounds out your top 28. Talk about adjusting. Like, this was a player who we thought could win you your season at one point, and it just hasn't hit quite the same. And obviously the number of touches has not been as equal as we saw in certain games of season 2.
This month, since returning from injury, running back 26 usage, he's been the running back 19 because he's a good player, performing better than what the usage would expect. But what we saw last week was a little bit worrisome. Even with Raheem Mostert missing, they just went to Jeff Wilson in the short yardage situations. We haven't really seen like the Devon Achane kind of like graduation into a different type of role. It's still more or less the same type of touches he's been relying on. And now he gets the Ravens, and the Ravens have the linebackers and the speed at linebackers in particular, and Marlon Humphrey to tackle these kind of outside runs. So it's a really bad matchup for Devon Achane. Of course, he still has explosive ability. And if Raheem Mostert is actually out this game, I'll move him higher than this. But this is kind of in line where his usage has been. And this is about as bad of a matchup for Devon Achane in particular.
Okay. 29, 30, 31 are Javonte Williams, Austin Eckler, and Antonio Gibson, because he is the only running back left on the Commanders roster.
So, yeah, let's start with Antonio Gibson. Brian Robinson's limited in practice right now with a hamstring injury. Chris Rodriguez was sent to injured reserve, so it's too early in the week to tell. They want Brian Robinson to be the guy. He's actually on a rookie contract. Antonio Gibson, he's an expiring contract, so too early in the week to give a final ranking on Gibson. Javonte Williams, he's been the running back 31 on running back 21 usage, has just not hit as hard. Jarrett Stidham is a couple points worse than Russell Wilson is in general. So I think the Broncos offense takes a slight hit with the quarterback change. And then for Austin Eckler, in the last two games, 6.7, 12.4 expected points without Justin Herbert. He keeps winning these hot hand battles with Joshua Kelly and Isaiah Spiller. The Broncos are really bad, second worst against fantasy running backs. But you do have to worry at some point, are they just going to like pull it out from Austin Eckler? And give some of the younger guys an opportunity. Like, for example, like Keenan Allen is still not practicing, still not playing out there. So we're in just a completely lost cause for the Chargers.
Okay, we'll close this out with both Steelers running backs, Najee Harris, Jalen Warren, and then also Jerome Ford at the end to close out these Week 17 rankings.
Yeah, Najee Harris, Jalen Warren, we know what we're getting with these two guys. And then Jerome Ford keeps losing goal line touchdowns to Kareem Hunt. Yep. And then with the Bears guys, Deontay Foreman's back at practice. He's been the lead back when he is out there. Khalil Herbert had a good game. We've seen Roschon Johnson have a good game. I'm not sure if the Bears know exactly who they want to give the ball to. So I certainly don't have a clue there as well.
Okay. That does it. I love when we disagree with each other. I love when we disagree with the comments and the chat. I'm not going to go as to call it a guessing game in playing fantasy football, but you use the information that you think is valuable in the hopes of predicting the future, which, guess what? Predicting the future is quite difficult. So that's what we try to do. Thank you all for tuning in. We'll have actually the quarterbacks and tight end rankings right around kickoff, maybe just a little bit beforehand. So be on the lookout for that. And then tomorrow it is wide receivers on top of that four.
Real quick, this is the perfect comment. Everyone in the chat thinks that they're running backs in the top 10. Until you actually sit here and have to do the rankings, there's only 10 guys in the top 10. Everyone else gets moved further than you'd want to. Great point.
That does it for us for week 17. We will also, just to get this on the record, have a show on Sunday morning because there are 14 games to be played on Sunday. There's no
Monday. Most of them in the morning. Yeah, most of them are in the early slate.
There's 14. So we'll be here to help all of you. All right. Up the Villa. Talk to y'all soon. See you.